Monday, August 11th, our meaningful Monday call. It is great to have so many people on the call, and I'm honored not only to have each and every one of you on the call, but I have to be one of the proudest fathers in the whole world to have both my daughters here with me to do this call today. And my older daughter, Sierra, who just turned 17 a few days ago, is going to be interviewed on this call. Now, Sierra is a junior Olympian, and that is for the youth of America that are 18 and under. She just went through a particular junior Olympic tournament that over 250 teams tried to qualify from Canada, from the U.S., from all over the place. They narrowed it down to the 48 best teams. Her team was seeded number one, and they went on for four straight days to win every game that they played. They had never lost a game, and in the final game, after a hard-fought struggle, they lost a very, very close game and won the silver medal in the Junior Olympics. So, yes, you can tell I'm extremely proud. But let's talk today for just a moment. Yes, for those of you that are brand new to this call, this is sort of a unique call. Usually we just do Meaningful Monday calls. It's sort of a motivational call. It's an inspirational call. It's a call about just how lucky we are to be celebrating another Monday in our life, no matter what's going on. And then we like to talk about all the opportunity that we have available to each and every one of us. If you're on this call, there's an amazing amount of opportunity. There's, you know, this world's just open to everything and anything that we want to accomplish. Today, though, we're going to celebrate the spirit of the Olympics. Okay? For those of you on this call, I have often told you that I'm not huge, big on watching TV, and my children are not big on watching TV either. But this weekend, we spent about 8 hours in the evening watching the Olympics, and one, I just think it's tremendously motivational. When you look at each and every one of these athletes, each and every one of these individuals, and they have those short stories, those synopsises on what those individuals had to do, had to overcome, the type of practice they put into it, the effort they put into it. If we look at the countries like China, where kids literally train from 3, 4, 5, 6 years old to be able to compete at 16 years old, because you have to be at least 16 to compete in the Olympics. With the U.S., you more or less have to be 18 to compete in the Olympics. Well, let's talk about the Olympics. Again, the Olympic motto translates to faster, higher, and stronger, for those of you that have heard it. Faster, higher, stronger. And for each and every one of you on this call, that's what life's about. What can you do without rushing through life? We're not talking about that type of faster. But to be successful, to be great, to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, not to rush through life, but to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, faster, higher, and stronger. Giving one's best and striving for personal excellence. That's what the Olympics are about. And I have to tell you that I think it's important for all children to see the Olympics, all children to have a dream, because every one of us, when you're a child, you have that dream. From the first day you build that sandcastle, say, I want to be an architect, or you want to be an astronaut, or you want to be president of the United States, or president of a company, or whatever you want, you have these dreams, these aspirations. And then all too often, we let people beat us down, take them away from us. Well, there's not an athlete on the U.S. Olympic team that didn't go through a bunch of no's, that didn't go through people telling them, there's no way you're going to make it. To be the best in the world, do you know what that's going to take? And I love the athletes that were interviewed that said, you know what, when I was young, I was told to even be on the Olympic team, you'd have to be one in a million. And I knew that with the effort that I put into it, I would be that one. To be a platinum executive director with Biomedics, I'll tell you right up front, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be one in a million. But there isn't any individual on this call that couldn't be that one in a million. So my daughter Coral Silverberg is here, and my older daughter Sierra Silverberg is here, and I'd like to start by introducing my older daughter Sierra Silverberg, who again just won a silver medal in the Junior Olympics less than 10 days ago. And she was nice enough to honor me by saying, Dad, I'd be happy to come in and do your Meaningful Monday call and talk to the individuals about the effort, about the everything that it takes to be even on the Junior Olympic team that we have. So, Sierra, can you say hi to everybody?
Hi, everyone.
Sierra's really excited to do this, as any 17, literally days-old 17-year-old would be. Sierra, tell me a little bit about yourself. What would you like these people to know starting out?
My whole life I kind of grew up playing sports, and my dad, as you know, is very competitive, and my whole family is, so in my family there's no real option of losing, so it's kind of like you win or you're done, and we always had competitions like who was the best at the sports between my sister and I, and I was always the better in the water, and my sister was always the better one on land. She'll still beat me to this day running, but I'll take her any day in a swim race, so I don't know, I just kind of grew up learning, you know, how to play soccer and softball and basketball and baseball, but water just kind of stuck with me.
Well, I love that. Well, tell me, how did you get started in water polo, though? Because, again, you enjoyed the water, you enjoyed the pool, but you seem to, at one point in your life, which is really just in the last few years, you found water polo. So how did you get started doing that?
Well, you obviously know, being my dad, you didn't really have much, like, understanding of, like, what water polo was, and none of my family kind of did, and I kind of liked that part, is that I could be the only one in my family that could actually be, you know, better at everything than anyone else. So I was able to, like, use my swimming abilities and try something new, and one of my friends kind of got me started in it, and ever since then I've just been hooked and wanting to get better and better every day.
And that's interesting. So even though you didn't really know anybody else that did it, you sort of set a trend for you, and the friends that you have now all came from water polo.
Yeah, most of the friends I have now I wasn't even really friends with at the time, and I would never have known unless I came up from this, but I didn't have any friends that played, and it wasn't to do it just because my friends were doing it. It was to do it just to kind of show everyone that I can do something different and succeed at it.
Can you share with the people on the phone, I remember taking you to some of your first practices, and you were 14 years old playing with 18-year-olds and the older girls, and you used to look up to them in the pool, but I remember you were so nervous because they were all 18, they were several years older, and they had all this experience, and they knew so much more, but once you get out of your comfort zone, you started building relationships and really started looking up to some of these older athletes.
Well, my first days, I practiced with, like, the 18 under girls, I practiced with 20 and under girls, I practiced with some of the girls, Betsy Armstrong, who's now the Olympic goalie, who they played against China today. I practiced with her. I mean, I practiced with some of the best, but I used to cry going to practices because I was so scared. I'd have all the energy. I could hang with them. I could do anything, but I was so scared of practice. And now it's kind of like all about building the relationships with the girls because a lot of my friends are going to Cal. I have a couple friends at UCLA, a couple friends at USC, and just different places, and it's kind of about building who you know and the teammates that you have to have a strong relationship with to be successful.
To be successful at anything in life, then you believe you have to break out of your comfort zone. You have to do things that maybe you fear at the beginning, but the more you get used to them now, it's all about having fun, isn't it, when you go out there? It's hard work and fun.
Yeah, exactly. Practice is never fun, but once you get into the game, it's not fun losing, so why would you not practice hard? I mean, I had a bunch of girls come up to me in a locker room once, and they said, "Why do you guys practice so much?" And I was like, "Because we hate losing." And she said, "Oh, well, I wouldn't want to practice as much as you guys do." And I was like, "Well, do you like losing?" She said, "No." And I was like, "So isn't it a waste of your time?" And she said, "Yeah." So it kind of just proved to me, like, you know what, even though I practice as much as I do and I try and stay in the pool as much as I do it all because I, you know, like to be the best at what I do.
So tell me about some of the biggest challenges you have let's go back to when you started water polo. What were some of the biggest challenges you had?
My biggest challenge is that I'm not the fastest swimmer out there. I had to learn how to play the games, like, more mentally than physically. Like, I'm probably one of the strongest girls out there, but I'm not the fastest swimmer. And the game has changed so much where they're moving the shot clock times, they're changing everything to be, you have to be the fastest one out there. And you'll still see me on, like, one on nobodies or something like that, and it's all because I can read the field. So learning how to read the field was my biggest thing I had to overcome, because once you can do that, you don't have to be the fastest girl in there, and that's kind of what I learned.
Well, again, you know how proud I am of you, and you've definitely pushed yourself as an individual. I mean, you've done an incredible job. You've had a dream career for a junior water polo player. Tell me about what changes you have seen in yourself in the last 4 or 5 years as you've continued to grow and, again, going towards this medal this year. Tell me about the changes that you've seen in yourself.
You just become more of a positive person. Like, it doesn't work to have a negative mentality when you're going into a game, or you're going into some of the games we had. Like, in our semifinals game, we were down by 3 at halftime, and you can't look at the game and say, oh, it's over, I'm done. You got to look at it as though you can do it. And I look at games more like life's little challenges, not just as games. As like, you can't just, you know, play one to win one. You have to play to learn and get the experience. Like, learn what the other girls are doing around you. Just kind of soak up the rest of it. You only live life once, and there's no real point in just kind of playing to play.
What do you enjoy most about water polo and competing?
Probably how aggressive it is and how much strength and endurance it takes to play the sport, because you can't just get out there and play it. You have to know what you're doing.
Well, let's talk about strength for a second. I know you use the products. You get to use ProFit. You love making your vanilla ProFit shakes. You get to use XL Fuel during the games. But tell me about your training schedule, because I'm not sure the people on the phone understand that to really be the best, to be at the top, let's talk about your training schedule during peak times.
Well, for peak time during club, it's during summer, but for school, it's during, like, the winter time, so it's freezing outside. You get at the pool at 5 in the morning, and you're there for 3-hour practice, then you go to a full day of school. You don't get any, you know, breaks, and then you get in the pool from 3 to 6 after practice. And then any times over the summer, I've actually had, like, a couple weekends ago, I had 5 games in one day, and honestly, without XL Fuel, I would not have made it. I mean, that night I just passed out, but I honestly, before every game, my dad was making them in the back of the car, and, you know, there was vitamins all over the back of the car, and he was running them to me in the middle of the quarters, but without some of these vitamins, I honestly could never do it. You're getting up at 5 in the morning in the middle of winter to get in a freezing cold pool, and you don't have bioimmune, or you don't have half the products, there would be no way. I mean, half the girls end up missing practice because they're sick or something's wrong, and I had a biggest thing with my coach this year, and he was so proud of me because I didn't ever miss a single practice, and I honestly would not have done it without the vitamins because everyone else got sick, and if I got sick, I got over it in a day because of these things.
Well, let's just talk about the peak time. Like the other day when you had 5 games, that was about 2-3 weeks ago, 5 games in one day, how many miles would you say you swam, or how far would you say, how many laps in an Olympic pool would that be during 5 games, so that people can really understand or get a perception? And then we can talk about the fact that you're somebody else is hanging on to you, you're dragging people with you, whatever the deal is. But how many laps in an Olympic pool, like when we watch, you know, Michael Phelps swim, would you say 5 games is for you?
They swim in a 50-meter pool, and we play in a 25-yard pool, but I don't even know. In an average game, in my high school games, I usually play the whole game, so that's like 40 minutes of just swimming up and down the pool, and you get 1 minute between each quarter, and it's, I don't know, 4 10-minute quarters, you're done pretty fast. So the amount we swim is actually ridiculous, but we swim it in practice, so practice will, you know, lead us up to those games.
And in 5 games, would you say maybe you did about 50 laps in an Olympic pool?
No, I did a lot more than 50 laps.
Wow. Okay, tell me what about water polo you couldn't possibly live without.
The competition and the friends I've made. I mean, the girls that I have friends with now, I know inside the water and outside the water, and I could trust those girls with my life. You know, a lot of times in the last game, we had one of the girls get hit in the face, and I'm actually looking at her picture in my dad's office right now, and she got punched in the side of the face, and I've never seen one of my teammates get so mad in her entire life, and she hit the girl back so hard. I mean, it's one of those things where the game's a lot more aggressive underwater, but you'll take one for the team, you'll take one for the girls, and I just love that.
Well, tell me about, a lot of people on this phone are, you know, you and I talk about how business, how I think competition in sports will help you in business later on in life, but whatever you choose to do. Tell me how you deal with a loss, the same way these people may have to deal with a no or somebody that says they don't love the products again. How do you deal with a loss, and how do you get past a mistake when you made the mistake in the game that cost the team?
I mean, you hope for those that you never make those mistakes in, like, a game that hopefully costs you the game, but you honestly have to know that no one's perfect and that everything is like a challenge, and if you can't set your mindset to set yourself to succeed, then who will set it for you? No one will do the work for you, and it has to be you overcoming you to make the best that you can be. And honestly, you win some, you lose some. You know, you're the top distributor for 1 month, you're not the next, and it's, are you really going to let that person keep beating you? You have to set your mind to let yourself know that you can do it, and make sure that you know, you're consistent enough to not let other people just surpass you whenever you want.
So what are you most proud of?
Probably the fact that the girls who scared me before, like, I don't know, Megan Corso and some of the other ones that are now top players at Cal and trying out for the Olympic team, you know, Betsy Armstrong and stuff like that. Just being able to work with them and train with them and also be able to compare yourself on the same level as those girls. Like, I looked up to those girls my whole life, and now I can look at them and be like, oh, wow, I might be going to school with these girls, which would mean I'm, you know, near the same level as them.
Well, now, everybody, whether you're in business or you're in water polo or you're just a scholar as you are with school and grades, tell me what keeps you going on a tough day.
Probably my mental stability. Like, before I used to have all these problems where I just, you know, you can't just get yourself out of a rut, and that's not really me anymore. I kind of have to learn to, you either do it or no one else will do it for you. So I just keep trying to, on the hard days, you know, I take the vitamins, but on the rough ones that, you know, I'm just down on myself, you got to learn that you got to get yourself out. You know, there's always like your dad or your mom or something giving you all the motivational help you need, but no one will do what you can get yourself out of.
So now let's go back to, what were you most afraid of at the beginning of your water polo career, and then what are you most afraid of now when you're looking at that big future that you have in front of you?
At the beginning, it was like the little things. You know, you start out as this little girl playing in like a youth team, and then the scary part was moving on to club. As I said, I cried before every single practice. You know, I didn't let my mom leave. I made her watch them. And now it's kind of like looking up at those girls, and I, of course, watch every single water polo game. Watched the boys versus China yesterday. I'm closer friends with all the guys on the team, and then watched the girls against China today, and just kind of seeing their caliber of play and hoping to be there one day. But I wouldn't really say I'm afraid of anything. It kind of just motivates me to play with them and hope to be that good one day.
Well, you know that your high school coach and I talk quite a bit, and he calls you the Kobe Bryant of your high school team. So we know that at crunch time, when it comes down to us, the ball is going to come into you. How do you remain calm and focused when it's crunch time and they're passing the ball to you?
I mean, you don't really have any other option. I wouldn't consider myself Kobe Bryant. I don't have the same attitude problems, but we all get that some days. But, no, when, you know, when that ball comes into you, or you're the one who's supposed to run the play, or, you know, coach looks at me and says, hey, what's your new play for this week? You know, I need a play right now. You know, I'll draw up the play for him. It's nothing big, but you can't really look back, you know. You got to know that you're either going to do it or you don't, and you win some, you lose some, but you just got to, you know, finish what you're doing and follow through and make sure you come out on top.
That's outstanding. So, you know, again, the team's got to believe in you, and you've got to believe in yourself. So you've got to be that leader when things are down or things aren't going your way or the team's not doing great. You're the one that's got to be the leader and turn them around. How do you feel your teammates would describe you? What do you think your teammates would say about you?
I think most of my teammates will say I'm extremely competitive, and they'd probably say something, I don't know, they know that I won't give up on them, and that I'll have faith in them, and I don't really know. I hope they only say positive things.
You'd be there for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, tell me what's next for you.
I don't know. I'm just working on trying to get recruited for colleges, looking into my different colleges, seeing different options, working on different things to make myself a better player, working on my swim times, getting a swim coach, just working to try and progress every little thing that I know I can do, because I want to be that caliber of play where I know that I can just walk on to any school. so I'm hoping to make it that way.
Tell me, how do you feel about moving out and going to college?
I don't know. That's kind of scary. I mean, it's going to be sad leaving, like, the household I live in, and I guess I'll miss my sister, as she's pointing to herself. And I don't know. I mean, my family and my dad and everyone has always, like, supported me to be the best that I can be, and I couldn't have asked for any better of a household. And obviously biomedics as a family, the Polies and everyone else have, you know, kind of supported me to be a strong person and an individual that, you know, could make it on their own and everything like that. I grew up with, like, two kinds of families. One's, like, the business family, and everyone keeps me going, and, you know, I get those little emails and everything like that. And the other one's, like, the love and, you know, care I get from my household. So it's going to be hard to leave, but when you're 18, you're ready to go. Not going to lie.
What do you see as your ultimate water polo goal? If you had one ultimate goal in water polo, what do you think it would be?
To help kids play. I mean, if I don't make it to the Olympics, I don't know if that's what I really want to do. I just want to change lives and help kids, whether it's, you know, making kids see that they're their own, you know, they're their own competition, they're their own person. As long as they can get over their own mind and everything like that, that they'll be perfectly fine. But I want to help kids do that, and I want to help this sport grow. I mean, as like a whole, it's bigger on the West Coast than it is the East Coast, and I want to make sure that it keeps progressing and getting bigger as long as, you know, I'm around, and hopefully just coach kids and keep them up and keep their spirits up mentally.
All right. So now you're associated with biomedics. If biomedics named a product after you, what would it be called and what would it do?
Honestly, my favorite product is, like, XL Fuel, so it'd have to be something that does that. Like, that can get you through anything. So, I don't know, it'd have to give you, like, lots of energy, taste good, which would mean it would have to be, like, really sweet. It'd probably taste like iced tea or something. And then, or lemonade, I like lemonade, that's good. And it would obviously just be named after me, that'd be really cool.
What would it be named?
Sierra the Great.
Okay. If you had one final piece of advice for people who want to achieve their goals, it's not just about, you know, you talked a lot about you really want to help kids achieve their goals, but, you know, adults out there too have goals that maybe they haven't achieved and they want to do it. So if you had one final piece of advice for anybody who wanted to achieve their goals, what would it be?
Never give up, and just know that you're your own worst enemy. Like, your mind has so much that overpowers you as an individual, and you just have to know how to overcome that, and once you can do that, you're unstoppable.
Okay, one more question, sorry. Who do you view as a mentor and why?
Besides the obvious, you know, my dad, because he's positive, but I don't know, I look at the Michael Jordan who comes from, you know, kind of came where I came from, like a young kid, and everyone was like, you're going to play water polo, like, you're not the fastest one out there, you're not the best one out there, like, everything like that, but I kind of look at that whole mentality as like, you know, you can do whatever you want to do and be as strong as you want to be, so I don't know, there's probably a lot of people out there. I look at Serena Brupp too, who's a pro surfer that I'm actually really good friends with, and she's kind of come from the top. She's had a couple injuries just like I have, and she's able to push her way through and make it back up to the top, and I'm just kind of hoping to do that too.
Well, thank you, Sierra. I appreciate it. Now, we're going to open up the lines in just a moment or two and let everybody share their thoughts and comments with you and allow you and or Coral to answer any questions they may have. You know, as we've discussed before, Frankie Pulley and myself both grew up playing tennis in high school, and there was a tennis player that I admired way back then. His name was Arthur Ashe, and he was actually a very, very famous tennis player back in the early 70s. And his comment, what he said, what he was famous for saying was, you're never really playing an opponent. You're playing yourself, your own highest standards. And when you reach your limits, your greatest standards, that's the real joy. And I think about that all the time when we talk about things like this. As you've said so many times on this call, it's all about what's inside of you. It's all about what you let your mind determine you're going to do. Because if you say, I'm never going to give up, and I'm going to work hard at this until I'm done, until I've achieved everything I wanted, then you'll live a life that's absolutely amazing for yourself. And that'll go for everything you do, whether it's business, whether it's your married life, whether it's your love life, whether it's It's what you do in sports. But again, you're the only one who's going to determine your outcome. And even though you may be the youngest kid there and you're worried about what people will think, or as you get older and you're worried about people counting on you now as a leader, that's all part of life. And just believing in yourself, whether you do it right or do it wrong, whether you win, whether you lose, and understand that everything you do is a learning process, that's what is going to allow you to live the most fulfilling, most enjoyable life that you could possibly have. Well, this past weekend, ladies and gentlemen, my girls and I were watching the Olympics. And one thought consistently came to mind. That Olympians, every single individual that we saw on the Olympic team from any and every country, they cannot afford a negative thought. Okay, there's no way that you can go to the Olympics if you go, well, maybe it's just not going to be a good day for me today. I mean, think about that one moment with those men or women on the uneven parallel bars, that for any moment they think, you know what, I don't always nail this move, I'm not always perfect at it, I don't do great at it. If they have any negative thoughts, there's no way that they're going to be their greatest during that particular Olympic event. There's no way that they're going to achieve their goal, right? They got there. They worked so hard to get there. And their one reward is, can I get a medal? And I guarantee you, the ones that are getting medals had no negative thought going on. So let's talk about that. No negative thought. None. Zip. Right? I want to put on, for this week, the Biomedics Olympic Challenge. Think about this, the Biomedics Olympic Challenge. No negative thoughts for 1 week. So let's say that you say, hey, I'm going to make these phone calls to try and get people involved in biomedics. Oh, but you know what? The last three I called didn't want to do it. From now on, if any negative thought comes in, I want you to say stop and say cancel. Just stop and cancel. And then reform your thoughts and say, you know what? I know that I'm sifting through these people to find the right one. And I know when I'm doing my follow-up calls this week that the majority of people are going to say, you know what? I love the product. I want to order more. I want you to think, no matter what, that it's going to be positive. And I'll bet you, if you try that for 1 week, from today until Friday night at sundown, you say, you know what? I'm not allowing any thoughts. I'm not allowing any negative thoughts. No negative thoughts to come into my life. All I'm going to do is say stop, cancel. I'm going to reform my thought. Talk about how great it could be. I'm going to allow myself to achieve my own gold medal. And I'm going to begin every single day and every single moment of every day with a new positive thought. So imagine that just for a moment. Go for the Biomedics Gold. Win big for yourself. I want to say thank you right up front to both my lovely daughters, who are just the greatest, for coming in here and supporting me and being part of this. And I hope each and every one of you have the type of career, the type of occupation, the type of job that you get to have your children in here to get to talk to the field, get to talk to the people out there. Well, thanks for being on the call. Thank you for supporting my family and myself. Thank you for being part of Biomedics. And I'm going to open up the calls, and I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts and comments about Sierra's call today. So hold on one second. All right. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments? Want to be the first to share?
I do.
Lisa, the leader, hail right off the bat.
I just got to say wow. And Sierra, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I was thinking of you while I watched the women's Olympic water polo competition. Now that I've gotten to hear you speak a little bit more, you know, we all get to hear a lot about you girls from TED, and it's always an honor to do that. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, but, man, I sure do want to now. And I can totally see you out there. So, right on. Thanks so much. You've got such great spirit and great heart, and that is really what it takes to succeed in anything. So, thanks so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
This is Jesus Salas from Sacramento, California. Wanted to say hi, and it was nice to meet you. And I missed the phone call about 10 minutes, so I'm over here listening to your message, and it was really powerful. It was a lot of flashback for me. I don't know if you know about Amanda Charles, but she was a girl that was with the company in 1995, and she made the Olympic team for judo. And, you know, man, I've been taking the product ever since. I'm 32, so I'm right now working on building my team, and, you know, it was real inspiring, and it was awesome. You spoke very good, and I hope you the best.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Sierra. It's Anna Maria.
Hi.
Hey. I just want to let you know, you did a really good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Sierra, this is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
There, you did an awesome job, and you know, I just want everybody out there to know I did have the privilege of watching Sierra play in a water polo game, and it is extremely strenuous. It's just unbelievable how intense playing water polo is. It is just, it is nothing like what I imagined after seeing her. And you are an incredible speaker as well. We're going to have to definitely get you on these calls more often. I just, you know, the one thing, just out of all these years that I've been around you, you never ever give up. You do, you put out 110%. You always want to do better, and I just admire you, and you are just a delight to be around.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
You are welcome.
Hey, Sierra.
Yeah?
We saved your heart.
I figured.
I've waited a long time to hear you girls on these calls, as you know, they mentioned. We get to hear all about you. Both of you are so busy with sports. Ted has promised us for at least a couple of years now, I'm going to get him in here one day when we don't have an event. Have you here on the call. I'm amazed at how well and how confident, how comfortable you are speaking. Let me tell you what I got from this. Aside from all the basic fundamentals that you covered very, very well, I get that there's two kinds of toughness. And I know you were raised in the first toughness just naturally, and that's physical toughness. Both your girls had to be physically tough to keep up with your peers and your dad and just that whole family of athletic-minded people. But what I got from you here tonight is that there's also a mental toughness that's very, very important, whether it's a sport or a business or life itself, and you've managed to develop both of them simultaneously. And I think that's what makes you the ultimate competitor, much like your comparisons to Michael Jordan, because I think that's what was the difference for him. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the fastest. In fact, he wasn't even anywhere near the best when he started, but his mental toughness brought up his physical toughness, and together he was just unstoppable the way you are now. So I want to thank you for coming tonight and sharing with us on this call, especially with the busy schedule you've got, and hope that you and your sister will come back and do more of these calls with us. We've got more people on tonight than I can remember in a long time, and I know it's because you were going to be here, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And I kind of always lived by that motto, like, you have to have physical and mental toughness to succeed in anything, whether it is business or it is, you know, competing or anything like that. But I look at Tony Azevedo, who's in the men's team, and he's the top scorer there, and he has 4 Catino Awards, which is Player of the Year Awards in water polo, and you can't get that without being mentally tough and physically tough. You play the sport year-round, and it's just kind of like I look at it at life. You never get a break from work, so you have to learn to be physically and mentally tough year-round.
Thanks, David. Who else has any thoughts or comments they want to share?
Hey, Ted?
Yes.
Can you all hear me? I messaged him right now. I'm going to tell you, your daughter is amazing. And I hope somebody takes this call, because I want my kids to hear her motivation and her dedication and her ambition to never give up and to go for it. And if you have to practice morning and night, you do it. And the same applies in the business world. I'm on the elliptical, so I'm out of breath here. My husband and I were listening to it in the car on the way to the gym, and I'm like, oh my God, my son needs to hear this call.
Thank you, that means so much.
You're so welcome, and what a testament you are to the company and to your father, and he should be so proud.
Thank you, I appreciate that, and I'm very proud of both of them.
I agree with you.
Who else has any thoughts or comments they want to share?
Sierra, hi, it's Christina.
Hi.
Hi, I just want to tell you congratulations on your silver medal, and also thank you for doing the call. You did wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ted, can you hear me? This is Gladys from Spokane.
Hey,
Hey, Gladys, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Tia, I don't know if I have the words to say to you, but you are an absolutely spectacular, delightful human being. And, you know, I sat here thinking, my God, when I was 18 years old, I don't know that I would have had the words or the experience or the polish that you have and the, how can I say, the deepness of persistence to maintain who and what you are. And I'm sure your sister is the same, but I haven't met either one of you, and I hope I, too, have a chance to meet you. But, Ted, thank you for having Sierra and your other daughter come on today. I'm awestruck. So thank you, Sierra. You're a very, very wonderful girl. Thank you so much.
Those compliments mean so much, and they're always just so much. They're so motivating. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, Sierra?
Yeah?
Hi, this is Mark, and I just want to tell you that your tenacity and your just the way you go at everything in your life, it reminds me of somebody who's on the other end of the phone there alongside of you. So, you know what, you're quite an inspiration to not only the younger people, but also the older people. So I just want to thank you very much, and good luck to you and everything you do in the future.
Thank you so much, and Tisha, Dad, I just want to make sure you love it as well.
Yeah. Frankie Foley here.
Oh, Frankie.
Mark was talking about me right there beside of you. And I don't know what tenacity means, but I know you go at no cost. You'll take it to the limit.
Frankie. Hey, Frankie, is there a limit on the number of times you can call my house in one day?
I have it. I wanted you to get... That was awesome. I'm so proud of you. I wanted to know every single detail of every game.
Thanks, Frankie.
And I watched the Olympics the other day. Did you get that message?
Yeah, I was listening to it. And we don't play with horses. I got that memo. I've been telling you that one for a couple of years.
I thought you were joking with me.
No.
All right. You are the best, I'm telling you. Both you and your sister are absolutely the best.
We love you, Frankie.
All right. Anybody else have any thoughts or comments?
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Linda.
Hello. And Dennis. He's just here. Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Dennis.
Sierra, you are great.
Thank you so much.
Sierra, I everything that you said tonight, I just want to tell you you did a terrific job. I want to thank you for sharing so much of yourself with us. And, you know, you talked about not following the crowd, and it really shows a lot of courage that you took the road less traveled. You followed your heart. And I think everybody on this call, we can all take a lesson from that. And if you wind up in the next Olympics, Dennis said they're going to be in London.
In 2012, we'll
yep.
be there.
And we'll have signs that say Sierra the Great.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Sierra, this is Dennis Schultz. You did a phenomenal job. I mean, Dad and I have spoken. Our daughter did college athletics also, and we've, you know, swapped war stories. But just the fact of getting through college, getting through being an athlete, getting through the practice times, the time organizations or whatever, we've seen it firsthand, and just listening to you today was absolutely phenomenal. And please don't take this the wrong way, but 17, my dear, you're 17 going on 27 or 37 with your motivation, and I'm sure everybody on the call got some great points and some great strength out of the call. Keep up the good work, and good luck with your college choice.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there'd be no other way to get through life without just being positive and having your mental and physical motivation, because without it, I don't know how people, you know, survive just thinking negative thoughts all the time. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, everybody on this phone, Sierra, can tell you, I'm not one to open my mouth and talk on the phone, so you got to know how motivated I am right now.
Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Blaine, New Mexico. I just want to say you're an inspiration of the call. Thank you for doing the call. And whatever you're doing, you know, for the rest of your life, I know you're going to succeed. And for the naming of the product, you can call it Sierra Mist.
I never miss. Just kidding. Thanks, Blaine.
You're welcome.
Any other thoughts or comments? All right, well, for all of you that were on the call tonight, I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart to be here to support my one daughter. We're going to get the other daughter to do this as well, but Sierra, again, for those of you on this call, you just got motivated by a girl that's only a few days into her 17th birthday, just been 17 a few days old. So, again, I don't think it matters what age is. We've had those conversations on these calls over and over again.
One at a time.
I have all kinds of people that I look up to, all different ages, that I think every age can teach you something as long as they're positive and motivational. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a tremendous week. I hope you'll do your best to make August the best month you ever had. I hope you'll take a look at all the great announcements that Isaac Lopez and the Multimedia Department have on the loop, because there's all kinds of specials on our ticker. If you click on to biomedics.com every day, you're going to find some new amazing specials. Again, the Wealth Coaching Workshop coming up. I hope you'll take a look at that and try and meet us down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for what we think is going to be the largest and the best Wealth Coaching Workshop to date.